Hello and welcome to the Serious Games Podcast, all about playful methods for interactive trainings and facilitation. Let's get started.
And today I'm talking to Rohil about one of his favorite games, Magic Pencils. Rohil, thank you for your time and thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Rohil, we haven't met in person before, so this is the first time.
Yeah.
But a colleague of mine, I guess she's been a part of one of your sessions during an Agile Games meetup here in Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
And you played the game Magic Pencils or Magic Pens. And then she called me and she said, oh, I really need to interview you.
Mm-hmm.
So, Rohil, maybe you can give us a short pitch on what is the game about? And, of course, who are you?
Okay. My name is Rohil, and what I do currently is I am an Agile transformation specialist for eBay. And in my other times, I love to do coaching. So, yeah, so that's me in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, the Magic Pencil game.
Yes.
The Magic Pencil game is actually a game about what happens when people do iterative simulations.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So what is the outcome? What is the impact? And it deals with actually a huge number of outcomes. And the most interesting part about this is the outcomes depend on the people.
The moment I'm thinking of a calculator game, a ballpoint game, is that similar to that game dynamic?
I think it's similar to the ballpoint game.
Okay. So the goal is to show how you improve, how you continually, gradually improve through the iterations that you're going through.
Yes.
Are there any other goals?
Yes. How you go through iterations, how you look into various marketplaces, mm-hmm. how do you get outside your box thinking?
Okay, all right.
And also then it shows why retrospectives are necessary.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And where did you come across this game, or did you create it, or is that a variation?
So I actually got this from my friend from a company. He's a CEO from this company called Dia Gielen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he told me about this game and told me to try it out. And when
okay.
I tried it out, we got really good
wow.
results from it.
Perfect. Yeah, that's definitely what Barbara was talking about.
Yeah, we got really good.
So tell me, what do you need to prepare? Is there anything you need to take or prepare in advance?
Yes. So, I mean, you don't need a lot of things for it. So all you need for this is, depending upon the number of participants,
okay.
so you need 3 times the pens, depending on the participants.
Okay.
So, for just specifically, we just need pens.
Okay.
We need a whiteboard.
Okay.
And you need something to write on the whiteboard.
Okay, perfect. So, pens, whiteboards, and write on a whiteboard. And how is the room set up? Is there any specific setup of the room that you need to start the game?
Yes. The specific thing which we need is the distribution of pens all over the place.
Okay, all over the place. And one pen per player?
No, the distribution is just all over the place. The main thing is, if I'm going to see for the structure-wise,
mm-hmm.
it's a group game.
Okay.
So there'll be a group of minimum of 4 participants. You can go more than 4 also if you want.
Mm-hmm.
But it should be a minimum of 4. 3
okay.
cannot do it as much because the learning opportunity is less.
Okay.
Because there are a few restrictions when there's 3 people.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it as one group also, but it's better to have it with multiple teams.
Okay.
So like 12 people.
Okay, 12 people, groups of 4, in a room full of pens.
Yes.
And they're lying around on the tables, on
anywhere.
The floor.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the maximum amount is not an issue. So it could
right.
be infinity and beyond.
All right, I will ask you later how many folks you played this game. And how do you start? So they see the pens, obviously.
Yeah. So
what is your introduction? How do you invite them to get started?
So the first thing we say is we are playing this Magic Pencil game, and we have a team of 4. Each team will have 4 pens.
Okay.
Okay. Each team will have 4 pens, and then we give them a set of rules.
All right. And what are the rules?
So the rules are, a pen is magic when all team members touched it.
Okay. You write them down, right? Look, I do see you looking on your phone
yes.
now. Maybe we can share this this picture with our listeners.
I can write it down and maybe give it to you. Because,
that would be nice. That
yeah.
would be nice. So it's magic when everyone in the team, in the group,
yeah.
has touched it. So
yes.
we're talking about the subgroup of 4, right?
The subgroup
okay.
of 4 mm-hmm. touched it.
Right.
The next one is, you must not give a pen to your direct neighbor.
Okay, not to your direct neighbor. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you can give it to a person opposite to you,
mm-hmm.
not to your left or right neighbor. Third one is, when a pen falls down, all team members have to touch it again.
Oh, so it starts all over. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If the pen falls down. And the last one is, only the last round of the game counts.
Okay.
Because we're doing it in iterations. Mm-hmm. We tell them how many rounds we are going to do.
Okay. And how many rounds do you normally do?
We do about 5 rounds.
Okay. 5 rounds? Only the last counts?
Yes. We do it about like 3 to 5 rounds, depending on the amount of time you have.
Okay. And the idea is, of course, to make or to transform as many pens as possible into the magical sphere.
Yes.
Okay.
Into the magical
sphere. All right. And who counts? I mean, is that this something that is self-organized by the team? Or yes. Do you as a facilitator actively?
This is something that is, I mean, that's another thing about these type of facilitations. Mm. It's like, if you are a team of four, and if we are the company that needs to get the results, we should trust them into getting whatever we are. Okay. And not manage them and see what the end results is.
Okay. Yeah. And you write those rules down?
Yes.
Okay, great. So the rules, the pens. So is there a starting time box or how long is an iteration?
Okay, so an iteration is divided into two segments.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The first phase is the planning phase.
Mm-hmm.
And then is the doing phase.
All right.
So we have 1 minute of planning and maybe 2 minutes of doing.
Okay.
And you can, and see, this is not a fixed thing. You can change it as per what you feel
all right
about it. You know, yeah. I felt 1 minute is good because then you can find improvements.
All right.
And at the end, after the planning, then we have about 30 seconds of, like, how do you feel and all that
stuff. Right, right. Okay. But I would imagine that the groups are now spreading out and just grabbing as many pens as they can get, so to have them close by?
No. The thing is, you don't talk about the pens which is laid around. You only get 4 pens. I give them 4 pens, and after that, I tell them the rules.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, their mindset is not on all the pens around them.
Okay, wow.
Because when I say that these are your pens, and now the rules are these.
Okay.
The first focus, at least in the first iteration,
is on the 4 pens they got.
Is on the 4 pens they got.
Okay, got you. So they start planning, talking, drawing sometimes? How can we do this?
Not drawing, mostly talking, because drawing takes a little more time to explain one perception to another perception.
Okay. Yeah. And then you ring a bell, or there's this time box is over, and then they start doing?
Yeah, they start doing. No, then after the planning stage, we ask, what is your plan outcome?
Okay, so they share
What's your plan output?
Okay, so they share that.
And then we write that down.
Okay, scoreboard, and then you put it down.
Mm-hmm. We say, so we divide the scoreboard into 2 sides. One is planned, and one is delivered.
Okay, perfect. And then it starts. They do it, they execute.
Yeah.
And what happens then normally?
So in the first round, with these restrictions, they'll be like, either they move around or they give the pens to the opposite person and the other person gives the opposite person. Mm-hmm. And so then they create and they move around and they create like maybe 15 pens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's the first iteration is very small, like 10 to 15.
Mm-hmm.
Then as a person, then you say, okay, nice. Did you get any learnings from it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is really good about this stage is from the second to third round onwards, people will start looking at other tables. How did this person get 20, 25, 50, 60?
Mm.
You know, there was a team that already figured out how to do it, and they just said 2.
Okay.
Just because they wanted, like, if you think of a market perspective, you know, we wanted to keep it a secret until the launch.
Okay. So they said 2, and then they reached more than 60, you said?
No, they don't reach. They delivered 2 because the first 4 rounds do not count.
Right, right.
Only the final round counts.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it creates a lot of emotions, a lot of environments, a lot of personalities.
All right. So you go through, as you said, 1, 2, 3, 4 iterations, always asking them about their outcome, and then you track it. You have the scoreboard. And what happens on a regular basis?
Yes, the observations we try to see is depending on the outcome that is taken.
Right.
The major debriefing is done at the end to say what could have been done better. But during these things, we do a little more of a coaching approach, saying that if people are stuck, I do a repetition of the rule. And then also, if I have to, I have to focus on like give expressions and words. Like what I say is, you must not give a pen to your direct neighbor. Then what I do, if people still cannot do, I draw a box.
Yeah.
And I say, this is your playing field. Okay, this box is your playing field, a big box. And right now, with these rules provided, how much of this box do you think you have conquered?
So, the impediments, literally, that you have, the box, the boundary.
Yeah, the boundaries.
And how much of what is possible are you exploring or using or making use of?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And then, when I just put a dot on it, and they say, that is the boundary that is actually given to you. And then we're like, how is that? How is that? I mean, this is only if they cannot solve it.
Okay.
So I need to try to break their mentality. Then they focus on the give part. Because you must not give. You must not give a person the pen. That is the only rule.
I mean, of course, we're already spoiling for participants who want to play this game afterwards, but...
I really thought this was just for people who are going to facilitate the game, why I was giving the methods. So I'm sorry for the people who actually want to play the game.
Yeah, you need to stop listening now.
When we see to the iterations, you'll see gradual thing that people look at other other markets or other tables, try to grab information. No one said about taking extra pens.
Yeah.
I'll just grab as many pens as I can.
Interesting. Okay. Then the focus starts going to the
external environments and trying to go to the external environments, trying to grab information from that, which is valid for the company.
So look, then there's this final fifth round that counts.
Yeah.
What happens then? I mean, is there a change in the group dynamic and tension?
Exactly. So by the fifth round, so depending, the last round, like if it's the third or the fifth round, depending on the people, you will see exponential growth in the output.
Okay.
So if in the start it was 15, in the end it'll be about 4,000.
Wow.
And that is the growth about providing what you learned to the team, and I mean what is learned from saying, and then it reiterating on what you learned to improve the next output.
Okay, wow. Wow. And I mean, you already mentioned a couple of debriefing points, right?
Yeah.
Like fixed or growth mindset, the boundaries, exploring that, really understanding the limitations or impediments, but also gathering information from the environment, from other players on the market in that sense. But this could also refer to other teams within the company, right?
True. I mean, that's like creating a dynamic capability between finding synergies between each
other. Definitely. Right? Any other common debriefing?
I'll tell you something which is uncommon, and I heard one person say this, and it was very enlightening for me. The person told me that the first part, when we created less output, was more fun than the... And like trying to create 4,000 of output. We got so much, yes. But as a person, I felt like it wasn't as fun. You know, I didn't get empowered to do that. Yes, we created so much. Yes, it was good learning. But that charisma, that fun about being with a team, doing things together, you know, that was less at the end. And it triggered something that, yes, if you try to keep something that is like automated, really fast, like a manufacturing plant, people will get bored about, like, you know.
I mean, there's not so much of you and your creativity that you need to bring to the table to make it work, right? Because it is automatic. And I mean, that's the whole point, I would say, of automation. And you will get the same output and even more. You can scale it, right? Through repetition. And you literally reduce the amount of creativity and personal, maybe even commitment, one could say.
So that was a very interesting part for me when I saw how it actually impacted a person. If you're output driven, yes, it's the best thing. But as a satisfaction level, like for your own like happiness playing within other teammates, that is more in the starting level because you're still in the ideation, you're fun, what do we do next? This works. When you find something that really works, and if you think this, the last one is like the best thing you can do and you cannot do anything better than that, then that's where the decline happens about empowerment of a person. Like, Now your purpose is already completed. What do I do? I mean, your level of mastery may be also achieved at that point. So your empowerment level also, intrinsic motivation also falls down at that point. Which I think sometimes. I mean, that's a quite interesting thing which I identified by one person. And it was quite interesting at that point.
Yeah, and again, that's the whole point of serious games, right? Yeah. It's emergent knowledge. You reflect with the group and... you never know what happens, right?
Exactly. And the best thing is maybe other people find different...
Yeah, definitely. And they will.
Different outcomes, you know? And that's the best part about it.
And they will, Look, I'm still trying to imagine the 4,000 number. So, of course, they reuse the pens. How many pens do you bring? I mean, do you have a full bag full? You have like 100 or 4, of course, for every team?
So, you will get... You can use that by using... 4 pens.
Okay. Yeah, and in one group, of course, right?
One group. If you want to get the best achievement of 4,000, it's very easy. It's just laying all the 4 pens or like 5 or 10 pens together and everyone hitting at the same time.
Ah, okay, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, and that's how you get 4,000 in 2 minutes of time. Yeah.
And do you have an ultimate facilitation tip for, I mean, not only specifically for the magic pencil game, but something that someone who wants to use agile games or serious games should be aware of, do not do, believe in?
My only facilitation tip is be authentic. Mm-hmm. You know, be authentic, be who you are, be a person. Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't be looking like an instrument that you're doing something that could benefit another person. If they don't see authenticity within yourself, and they feel it. And I find that removes the trust or the rapport that is created between a person. Mm. Be authentic. And being authentic means that listen to your gut.
Okay.
Because listen to your gut, it may not work, but then that's a learning, you know, for the future. And that's why it's there. Always listen to your gut because, I mean... intrinsically or saying it's something that your mind wants to do and you should do it, all go for it.
Okay, wow, yeah, true. I can definitely strengthen that point for our listeners. Look, now that we've explored this magic pencil game in the last 20 minutes, what is the magic for you about the game? So what makes it special? What makes it work for you?
What I really like about the game is how the mindset of a person changes when they see that they are able, even with a set of restrictions, and what they thought from the start can be, I mean, increased by 10 or 1,000 times from the usual rate. You know, it's that perception that anything you can do, if you put your mind to it, If you have a iterative process, if you keep challenging yourself, if you keep learning, if you do not fear failure, and you actually have a retrospective background, you think of what you did and you be aware of what you did. You know, it's not just thinking; you need to be aware of what are the outcomes.
Right.
Then you can actually achieve greatness in whatever you want to do.
Whatever, a perfect sentence to close with. Rohil, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And to all our listeners, till next time. Bye-bye.
You can reach us at hello@keylearning.net. We're looking forward to your suggestions, comments, and feedback.